You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Dr. Yose de Haik is a researcher with the Liggins Institute, and he has been researching how early life events can set a person on the track for a certain height, weight, and range of diseases. Good morning, Yose. I might just get you to pull your mic just a little bit closer, if that's okay.
Yep, is it better?
Perfect, thank you. How are you this morning?
Pretty good, thank you.
That is good. I just kind of wanted to begin with asking you, where did the idea for this research begin for you?
The Liggins Institute has a strong focus on studying the early origins of disease, you know, because there is more and more evidence showing that a healthy start to life will have considerable consequences for your health in later in life. And this comes from it's called a field of research called the developmental origins of health and disease. And this has all started when people initially looked at at people who were born during the Dutch famine in the Second World War, when the Germans imposed a blockade on the Netherlands, and there was a lot of hunger and starvation. And a few decades later, they started studying those who were, you know, who were born during that time, and they started to realize that depending of when you were exposed to hunger, to, you know, in your mother's womb during gestation, that would determine what would happen to you in later in life. So, for example, if you were exposed to if your mother was exposed to starvation for the first 6 months of pregnancy, you had a much higher risk of becoming obese as an adult.
Wow.
And so that all developed into what they call developmental plasticity, which means that, you know, you have a set of genes, but how you will turn out to be will depend on a bunch of environmental cues, you know, signals that you get from the environment. And in the case of the Dutch famine, was hunger, lack of nutrition to the fetus.
And that can lead to obesity.
Yeah, that is one of the things. And about nearly, I think, 3 decades ago, there was a guy called Barker who was one of the first to study this in more detail. And he showed that babies who were born very small, when they grew up, they were much more likely to have high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes. So that's how this whole range of studies came about. And the particular studies that I've been involved with is a result of collaboration with two colleagues from Uppsala University in Sweden, Dr. Fredrik Alson and Maria Lundgren. And the things about the Swedes, they record everything.
Yeah.
You know, they have an amazing set of database. So every child that is born, a lot of information about your birth goes into what they call the Swedish birth register. And when a woman becomes pregnant, she goes to her first antenatal visit, and a whole bunch of information is recorded at that time. And that information is linked to the date, to the data collected at her birth. So when we collect that data, we have information about the mother when she's about to have a baby, and all the information collected at her birth. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of data that they have, and in this case, we examine over 200,000 women.
Wow.
And we will investigate. There was a good opportunity to investigate some of these issues that we can't do in New Zealand, for example, because we don't really have
that much
comprehensive data recorded.
So you did source your data from 200,000 Swedish women. Were they a variety of just different people?
They were all Scandinavian.
Yeah.
you know, because there are ethnic differences that can influence, you know, health and disease as well. So we eliminated that. They were all Scandinavian. All their mothers were Scandinavian as well. They were all 18 years of age or older at the time of their antenatal visit.
Awesome. Wow. That's amazing. And when you're working with this data set, how do you decide what correlations imply causation?
Well, that is the thing. These studies are not, you cannot prove causation. They demonstrate associations. But they lead to other studies that aim to examine the mechanisms that can lead to these outcomes.
Would you ever want to go into looking at other ethnic groups and seeing the differences between the different cultures?
I mean, definitely, because there are considerable ethnic variations in a whole bunch of outcomes. Now, the question is how to access the data.
Right. Because there's probably just not as much information.
Yes, I know that there are studies from other countries. So there are studies from China, for example, and the findings were very similar to ours.
Cool. And do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you found with your studies? What specifically did you find? Because I know that you had a couple of studies where the shorter the mother, the higher the odds of having a premature baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Well, this is actually has been shown in a few other cohorts, in a few other populations, if I'm not mistaken, even in China, as I was mentioning before. And we did find that women who were very short for Scandinavian standards, you know, they were below, I think, 155 centimeters, they had twice the risk of giving birth to a premature baby, you know, a baby that is born at less than 37 weeks of gestation, than the mothers who were very tall, who were, I think, 178 centimeters or something like that, about 179 centimeters or taller.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then you've also got, like, girl babies born late are more likely to become obese.
Yes, this corroborates some of the findings that we have. We've done a few of those studies in New Zealand in children and in middle-aged men. And, sorry, not in middle-aged men, in children. And we found that kids who stay too long in the mother's womb, in other words, they are born post-term at 42 weeks of gestation or later, they are more likely to be to have central adipose, in other words, fat around their tummy, which is not good for your health.
No.
And also their bodies were not very good as good as handling sugar in their blood as children who are born in the normal term between 37 and 41 weeks. And in these, but no one had ever studied adult women to see whether there was some of this association there. And we did find that adult women had an increased risk of being obese.
So what's the applications to your findings? What can we do with this information?
I guess this first, you know, it provides an explanation for, you know, different patterns of obesity in different places and in different cohorts. But the crucial thing is that it empowers people. You know, if you were born very preterm, for example, and you know that you have an increased risk of cardiovascular diseases in later life, it means that you should be more careful with your diet and your lifestyle.
So it just preps people to really understand how their body...
Yes, because, you know, remember that we are talking about risk factors.
Yeah.
We are not talking about determinants. It doesn't mean you're born preterm, you have that. That's not the case. It's just about increased risk.
Cool.
And if you know that you are at an increased risk, you have to be more careful. Well, one example is type 2 diabetes, for example. You know that there's a major familial influence. So if both of your parents have type 2 diabetes, the chance of you getting type 2 diabetes as well is much higher. So in other words, it doesn't mean that you have, but that gives you, that empowers you to take measures and improve your lifestyle to make sure that doesn't happen.
Are you continuing with this research? Has it kind of finished, or is it just this ongoing process
for
you?
No, it is ongoing. I've just spent 1 month in Uppsala in Sweden a couple of months ago. And the next step will be looking at conscripts.
Okay.
You know, men who are enrolled into the military service.
Right.
And we have data on, I think, about 700,000
wow.
men. And that's the next step. We're just starting to look at those data now.
Gosh, so do you have to look at all of the data? Do you like go through and look at everything?
No, we can't. You know, we can't really yeah. look at one by one. Otherwise, it would take us forever. So you just use some statistical programs or packages just to double check that all the data is. You know, there are no. You know, sometimes people will record height instead of weight.
Mm. Cool.
So then you know that it's the wrong value. So just things like that, you can quickly double check that it's accurate.
Gosh, it sounds like a fascinating study. Thank you so much, Dr. Yose Daik, for popping in this morning and telling us more about your studies. And I wish you all the best in carrying on
okay.
with doing it. And it's been really good to learn a bit more.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.